as we read the word of the Lord. And I know, and I desire your prayers. We just give out everything the Lord wants us to give. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 13. Verse number 13, this Apostle Paul writing unto the church of Corinth. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Would you help us pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father, one more time today. Wonderful day, Lord, you have given. As your scripture says, this is the day that you have made. And we should rejoice and be glad in it. And God, we're thankful for the songs, Lord. Thankful for the ones, the sweet presence of those words. Lord, they smooth our heart, and Lord, and thankful for them. But God, here we are once again, standing in your pulpit. Lord, Father, with a congregation, expecting to hear a word from you through me. And God, I need your help. All the studying and all the praying and all the reading, Lord, Father, don't make a message. But Lord, Father, it does help in the process. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, if you would, anoint us one more time with that fresh oil, Lord, preach through us, Lord, and use us this evening, Lord, we may be effective on the hearts of all the listeners. Lord, our hearts would be listening to exactly what you have to say. Lord, I know you can, and I know you're able, Lord. And Father, would you please, Lord, Father, just use us and give us the things to say. It's in Jesus' precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I want to preach upon about being addicted. About being addicted. I know here in these scriptures we come across in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the end of the first letter, the Apostle Paul was writing unto them believers, and he's writing about Stephanas. He's writing about his house. Writing about they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Some folks would say, "Well, preacher, that's them words that are in parentheses that the translators put in there." Well, they had some information and some things that's been laid upon the heart and things that have been evident. You find throughout the rest of 16, 17, and 18 that they had to have some kind of a desire to help folks out, especially them that are in the ministry. And can I say, I thank God there has been people that has had a heart to help and to labor in the ministry. And maybe not being the one who stands in the forefront to preach the message or be the one who's doing the actual ministering of the labor, but they ministered unto the minister who's doing the ministering so they could be supplied. I thank God for many of people, and I don't know about anybody else, but I thank God for the saint of God who just sits in the pew by the eddy and bows their head in praise and says, "Preach them, preacher. Preach them, Lord. Preach them, Lord. Or help them, Lord." I think that goes a long way. If it wasn't for the dear saints of God who have prayed many of prayers and spent all their time praying for folks such as I and such as you, where would we be at today? I thank God that somebody took time to get down on bended knees or took time to bow in their heart and bow their head and whisper a prayer in my name, saying, "Lord, they need you." Sometimes I was on the wrong end of doing wrong, and they still prayed for me. I'm glad they still pray for me. I think it's most important that these people be like Stephanas. I'm glad and I'm thankful for these things. Normally when you hear the word addicted, in our day and time, it's not does not go along with something that's polite or something that's nice. It's normally attached to something of a negative nature. But here in the Bible, we find in our King James Bible, it's attached to something good. We find here that Stephanas ain't mentioned but maybe two times, three times in the book of Corinthians, and he's not mentioned nowhere else. You'll find in the first place that he's mentioned in the very first chapter of 1 Corinthians at verse number 16. And the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, "And I baptize also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other." The Apostle Paul was proclaiming and declaring unto the church of Corinth that he did not come to baptize, but he come to preach the gospel. Well, the thing that gets me, Brother James, about Stephanus and the book of Corinthians and the letters to the Corinthian church, we find that Stephanus is a Greek. It's in the area of Greece. And Paul says that the Jew seeketh after a sign, but the Greek seeks after wisdom. They got to have some kind of wisdom that goes along, and that's what they seek after. And can I say this? I'm glad it's not by wisdom, it's by the preached word of God that somebody will be converted. Somebody will be changed in their heart. We find that there's evidence that Stephanus' heart had been changed. We find evidence that Stephanus' heart had been not only just changed, but his whole life had been changed. Changed from what he once was, and now he's something new. I believe you'd have to say he goes along with what Paul wrote in the second. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But the thing that gets me about Stephanus, he heard the preached gospel. He heard the things that was preached by the Apostle Paul. Now, if there's anybody who had wisdom, it was the Apostle Paul. The Bible said, taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew all kinds of things. He's on the Sanhedrin court. But the Apostle Paul said he gave all that up that he may know the power of the risen Savior. But what he said in chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians, if you'd like to flip with me, I'm going to read, but I want to get along these lines before we get to Stephanus, because I want to say this, ain't nobody who can be addicted to the ministry of the saint unless something happened in the heart to cause them to be addicted. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you, for I determined not to you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now stop right there for a second. That doesn't seem like something that Stephanus' background would want to take in. He's a Greek. He's one seeking after some kind of wisdom. And the Apostle Paul decided, I can't use my wisdom. I gave it all up to know the excellency of Christ, to know those things. But the Apostle Paul's preaching the Word of God. Can I say something, Brother Kenny? All this fancy stuff and new stuff and change this stuff, ain't nothing work like good old time gospel preaching. Filled up with the Holy Ghost and filled up with the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. Too many people don't realize how powerful the Word of God is. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter number 1, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, unto the Jew first and unto the Greek. For then is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven." Thank God through the preached word. But that Word of God, that preached word, ain't got no power unless you believe on it. And thank God I believed on it. Ain't you glad you believed on the Word of God? I believed the saving of my soul. That's why I can sing them songs, "I'll never go back, I'll never draw back, I'll never go back to them old ways." Why? I believed all the way to the saving of my soul. And there's evident here that Stephanus did the same. In verse number 4 of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, "My speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Can I say, that's the best place for your faith to be, is in the power of God. A lot of folks don't realize this, but the Bible says in 1 Peter that we're kept by the power of God through faith. I'll take the power of God over anything else. Y'all are with me? I'll stick with the power of God. Don't get me wrong. I think intelligence and I think schooling, there's nothing wrong with it. If I had an opportunity to go to schooling, Brother Eddie, I think I'd go to schooling. I like learning all those things and the things that they talk about. But friend, can I say something? Schooling don't make you powerful. Schooling don't get you the power of God, but it's the Word of God that brings the power. And can I say, so many people have been saved throughout generation and after generation. And we're living the day and time now where so many people, well, them preachers, they're just ignorant. They ain't got no education. They ain't got nothing behind their name. And I'm not knocking the ones who's got those degrees. I'm proud of them. Say, preach on, preach on. But Brother James, don't do a hill of beans unless God is in the preaching. Old song that we love to sing, the youth group sings it, and I love that song. We went down to that Jubilee and they got it painted on the front wall of the church when you walk in. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Friend, it ain't church unless the power of God's in the midst of it. Friend, it ain't church church unless the Spirit of God's in the midst of it. And it ain't church unless God's doing the speaking. Ain't you all agreeing with that? I can say this evening, that so many times I've been to church and sometimes it felt like it was dead, Brother Eddie. But if somebody would lift up the name of Jesus, my heart could have a little beat in that and say, thank God my Savior's name was mentioned. Stephanus believed this preaching. Stephanus believed this power. Stephanus put his whole hope and trust in it and loved the Lord and got converted. He got saved, preacher. He got born again. He had to have the evidence. And you say, why, preacher? Because the greatest preacher in the New Testament after Jesus Christ was the one who baptized him. I mean, if there's anybody in the church of Corinth who could brag on who baptized him, it probably could have been Stephanus. But Stephanus didn't say not a single word. And the Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to baptize anyway. But how could you think about that? Stephanus had a life-changing experience when he believed in the Word of God. I think it'd do this country a whole lot of good. I think it'd do our state a whole lot of good. And I think it'd do our churches a whole lot of good if we just believe the Word of God. Too many times we put our input in. Sometimes we put what our thoughts are into it. And sometimes we think how things ought to go. But can I say this? Just give me the Word. Give me the preached Word. You can't make it too hot. You can't make it too straight. You can't make it too stiff. Just give me the Word of God. Brother James, I don't like it when the preacher preaches on sin. You've preached on my sin before. Josh has preached on my sin before. Preached on my sin before. Did I like it? Absolutely not. But I just sure did love it when I asked God to forgive me, and He forgave me of my sin. Too many times people nowadays don't like to hear about preaching about sin. They like if you preach upon sin generally, but the Lord says we got to preach on that sin specifically because He outlines it specifically. And friend, everybody's sinned to come short of the glory of God. Don't get mad at the preacher. Just join yourself up in the group and repent and ask God to forgive you. That's what Stephanus did. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in what God gave. He trusted in what the Lord spoke when he preached through the Apostle Paul. Stephanus' faith was in the power of God. Now, can I say this for a second? When you put your faith and let it rest in the power of God, it doesn't matter what man says. Too many times we do things and folks get dictated because what the man is saying. We preached this morning that the devil will try to mislead you, deceive you, and misguide you and divide you from following the Lord. A lot of times he'll use a man in that position. The Bible says the devil manifests himself as an angel of light. And do you not think that his angels will manifest themselves as angels of light? They'll go about to deceive and mislead and try to cause you to go in a different way. But the Bible says the blind lead the blind. They'll both wind up in a ditch. I can say this, the Lord has never led me to a ditch. He's never led you to a ditch. The Lord's never led me in the darkness. He's never led you in the darkness. But He's always led us to that marvelous, glorious light. Can I say along those ways, when He's got a hold of my heart, I had to clean my eyes out, I had to clean my ears out, and had to get things up in the way I can understand the Word of God or understand it in my heart to know what I needed to do. But friend, the power of God, to put your faith in the power of God. Brother James, that's when you hear the testimonies about moms and dads. As Brother James and Tina have a testimony when they tell them to get rid of the baby, it's not going to live, but they're going to trust God and put their faith in God. And the doctors look at them and probably think they're crazy when you do things like that, but God sure does give the victory. 80-some-year-old man who was told he'd never, there's no reason to give him no heart surgery. He won't survive the surgery, let alone survive getting out of the hospital. But they said, well, we're going to pray. And the doctor says, there's no use to praying. Stop your praying. It don't work. And they said, preacher, what do we do? I said, we're going to prove that doctor wrong. And we pray and we pray and we pray. That's why Cyclone Fields was sitting in the back of the church. And that was about 3 years ago. Some people say, preacher, you're just hokey. You're just old-fashioned. I think we all are. When it comes to our problems, it comes to our situations, we want God to move. And if you want God to move in your life and move on your loved ones, move on your friends and move in your situation, you better have your faith in His power. Too many times people put their trust and confidence in man. And the Bible says it's better to trust the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Why? Because the Lord is the one who will help you along the way. Men will come short. Men will make mistakes. Amen, they will. I've made mistakes. I've come short. But the one thing we can say is the Lord's never been that way. That song, I'll Be a Friend to Jesus, I sing it sometimes, Brother Eddie, with a little bit of conviction on my heart because I have not been the friend of Jesus as I ought to been. But the one thing that helps me along the way is knowing that He's always been the friend He'd said He'd be to me. And I thank God it's in the power of that faith. He put His power in the faith of the Lord. He trusted in God. Secondly, He didn't sit around and let the moss grow underneath His feet. The Bible says here that he, the Bible says in verse number 15, talked about that he was the first fruits of that area. He was the first fruits when the Apostle Paul went preaching around in that area around Corinth. He was the first fruits. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That means there was something in them that said they needed to help out ministers. They needed to help out those that was going about doing the ministering. They didn't have the limelight. They didn't have the tag upon their shirt. They didn't say, beat their chest and say, look at me, Brother Paul. They was willing to sit in the background and do what God wanted them to do. Y'all listen to the preacher. Not everybody can be a preacher, and everybody can be a pastor, and everybody can be a singer, and everybody can be a Sunday school teacher, and everybody can be a deacon. But somebody's got to be in the background making sure that the fire's still burning. Y'all listen to the preacher. And can I say, that's what Stephanus and his house addicted themselves to do. Notice in the scriptures, and I lost my glasses. Y'all pray for me now. If I can't see, I ain't going to be able to read. But I found my glasses. Number 17, this is what they said. Verse 16 said that they submit themselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth us. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and also Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. They found out what they was needing. They found out what they needed to complete their labor. They found out what was needed to help them along the way, and they supplied that need. Y'all listen to the preacher. Oftentimes you've heard me say, we may never find out who the people are that we help, but if we can help somebody along the way, that'll help them tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved. James, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort to help somebody along the way in doing what they're doing. I want to help these preachers do what God wants them to do. I want to get behind them and support them. There's some things I'll never get to do. Like I've always said, I got a heart for young people, but I ain't the guy to lead the young people. I mean, you get me amongst them young people, I wound up becoming a young kid myself, and Tina probably had to come after me with a switch to whoop me to get me in line. But I will say this, there's a lot of things I'd like to do, but that's not what the Lord had me to do. He's called me to preach. He's called me to pastor. And I love that, Sister Doris, but there's been so many people who's made it easier on me pastoring and easier on me preaching because they have supplied my need. They've been there to help. And friend, where would church be if it wasn't for people who was willing to labor in that field and to help us out? The Apostle Paul said they supplied our need. I'm reminded that Stephanus reminds me a lot of Onesiphorus, if I can pronounce his name right, of the book of Philemon, when he sat there and he risked his own life and risked his own soul in the book of Philippians to make sure the Apostle Paul had everything that he needed. When nobody else would give and nobody else would supply a need, he would come and bring the thing, risked his own life to make sure the preacher was all right to preach the gospel. Can I say maybe nobody else would ever known his name if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul? Maybe they'd never know who Stephanus' name was if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul. And I'll say this, Stephanus' heart must have been true, Brother Eddie, because they don't see about him beating his chest and bragging on himself. We see that he stuck with his stuff and he was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Secondly, in verse number 18, it says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Not only did they supply to the need of the physical, but they supplied to the need of the spiritual. You know how far and how long it'll go if you put your arm around somebody and say, you know what, I may not know what you're going through, but I'm a praying for you. I'm praying with you. What do you need? Do you need anything? Sister Rita's back here telling us the whole story about her brother, and we keep asking her what she needs. She said, we just need prayer. We just need prayer. And sometimes people don't think that's a very big deal, but praying on the spiritual end makes a big difference. There's no physical thing that can take the place of what a good Holy Ghost-filled prayer by a saint of God that can do. Refresh the Apostle Paul in spirit. Can I say, the Apostle Paul, him being a preacher, no doubt been rejected and probably been spit upon. His life been in danger. I don't know how many times, Brother Eddie. I don't know if he ever thought about quitting. I don't know if he ever thought about this is over with. Never thought that nobody was listening to him. But maybe if he ever did, Brother Eddie, I like to think what Stephanus did. He said he refreshed his spirit. That means he perked him up. That means he gave him some spunk to go along with. He rah-rah-rahed him and cheerleaded him and say, keep on going, preacher. Keep on going, preacher. Sometimes you'll hear me say amen. Say amen right there. And you say, preacher, what do you say that for? Because sometimes it helps the preacher out when you say amen. That means you're listening to what he's saying. It's like telling a pit bull and you get a big old nasty steak in front of him, ain't been cooked yet. You say, sick him, dog. And that dog just get a hold of it and just tear it all up. And you know what? Sometimes the preacher needs to be boosted up and picked up and patted on the back some spiritually to refresh him, to keep on going. But I think it's more for everybody, not just the preacher. We all need that, and that's what Stephanus did. He supplied the need physically, and he supplied the need spiritually, and that for those people. His heart, His heart had to be fixed. His heart had to be stationary. I'm reminded, the Bible talks about in Jeremiah chapter 32, 39, that the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, I will give you singleness of heart. Your heart would no longer be divided. It would be one heart. It'd be together. He said, I'd give that to you. That way your heart could be focused. We find that in scriptures, what James said, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But oh, if you get a man who has a singleness of heart, who's focused and steadfast on what the Lord wants him to do, the sky is the limit. There's nothing that can be withheld from him. His faith is resting in the power of God, Brother Eddie. And he's like what David said in Psalm 57, verse 7. He says, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. He said, it's fixed, O Lord. Not only did Stephanus' heart get fixed, he got a brand new heart when he got born again and saved, but his heart became fixed. It became fashioned. It became steadfast. It became unmovable in the movement, in the ministry of the Lord. He labored, because his heart was fixed and stationary. I wonder how many of our hearts tonight are fixed and stationary, been saved and born again. Has it been brand new and put in such that old stony heart took out and given that new heart of flesh? I wonder how many of us tonight have been born again and saved, heard the preaching of the power of God and the Word of God, and believed on it, and our faith is resting in the power of God. I wonder how many of us, that our heart has not only been brand new, but has it been stationary? It's been fixed. It's been concreted in, if you'll have it. It's been cemented in, and it's fixed to do what God wants it to do. So many times I hear people say, well, I want to do this and I want to do that, and they just bounce all over the place, friend. That's not God. It's not in those arrangements. Y'all hearing the preacher? So many people want to bounce from here and there, wanting to do this, wanting to do that. You can't get them to settle down and do one thing. Just committed to one thing, Brother James, is all the churches are looking for. Commitment to one thing. And when that's done, the Lord will bless. Can I say this? You may not find out who, what they're doing or how they're doing it, but friend, it'll add to the ministry as it did in this case. I wonder how many of us tonight has our hearts fixed and stationary, saying, Lord, I know exactly what you want me to do, and doing that. You said, preacher, I don't have that. That's why you need somebody to pray with you and for you, as Stephanus did. His heart was fixed. He believed on the Lord. Now notice this. It says, this is the last thing I'm going to get to, then I'll be coming to a close. It says, he was addicted. As we said in the beginning, that addiction, every time we mention the word addiction, it's on the negative side of that phrase nowadays. But I looked up the definition of addicted, I sat and thought about this as I read about it, and I wrote the definition down. It says, to be addicted is physically and mentally dependent on a particular substance. You're physically and mentally dependent on a particular substance. It says, and unable to stop taking it without incurring adverse effects. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that definition was attached to your Christianity? If you were so addicted to Jesus that you was physically and mentally dependent on Jesus Christ. Y'all listen to the preacher? Because I've seen so many people and watched so many folk. We've seen the drug addicts. We've seen the heroin addicts. We've seen them. We see how they're addicted. We see what they'll do to go to great lengths to satisfy their addiction. We'll see what they'll do just to get the fix that they need to help them get through the day or through the hour or through the minute. But wouldn't that be something if it was attached to the Christian person? I'm not talking about taking drugs, Brother Josh, but I'm talking about having to have Jesus in their life, doing the work that Jesus wants them to do. It says, and unable to stop taking it without incurring adverse effects. Can I say, wouldn't that be wonderful to some of them people who just seem to quit on God? That they were so addicted that they couldn't quit, Brother James. And sometimes I hear people that quit, and I hear some people has went off, but it has. But if you're saved and if you're born again and addicted to the Lord, if you try to quit, it has adverse effects on your life. Y'all with a preacher? You ever met them people who haven't been in church in a little while, and you start talking about Jesus, they get all snippy and get all mad, and they'll bite your head off? Some folks say, well, I don't know why you're talking to me for. I believe in Jesus. Why you got to be all religious on me for? They get all upset. But if you're as close to the Lord as the Lord wants you to be, you ain't got to worry about what anybody says, because they'll see it poking out on you. Somebody say amen right there. I know some folks may not realize this, I've said it before, but that great big God takes up his abode in your heart along with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if God's so big that he hung the sun, hung the moon, and hung the stars, and he made the earth and everything therein, and every creepy crawly thing, and made man, and he gets inside of you, he's so big, it's got to poke out somewhere. I don't care how big you are, even if you're as big as me, he's got to poke out somewhere. Somewhere there's going to be some evidence show up in your life that you're addicted unto the Lord. And if you stop dealing with the Lord, if you stop walking with the Lord, there should be some adverse effects in your life. If you're saved and you can go out living the way you want to, something wrong somewhere. Should be some adverse effects in your life. The Bible says, how can you be in debt unto sin live any longer therein? We got a world today that says, I can live like the devil and live in sin and go to heaven. And my reply is, what do you have to do to go to hell? But Brother Josh, if you can go back and live the way you want to, still live in sin, and it don't bother you, friend, you never been addicted to Jesus Christ. You never got that first shot, because the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not only does it say that about addicted, but it also says it's enthusiastically, that's a great big old word, enthusiastically devoted to a particular thing or activity. Being addicted. Being addicted unto the Lord. I wonder, in the days and times that we're living in, why people seem like it's not a big deal to be addicted unto the Lord. To be close to the Lord, to follow the Lord, to come to him and everything. I hear people say all the time, preacher, I'm just too busy. I got this going on Monday, this going on Tuesday, this going on Wednesday, this going on Thursday. And they say, I got all these things I got to do. I ain't got time for church. And they ask you what you do, and you say you go to church on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday. And if there's any kind of youth rally, any kind of revival, any kind of thing going on, we jump in on it. We're in it. We're in it with both heels. We're going to nursing homes. We're doing this. We're doing that. That's just way too much church. That's just way too much. I said, don't you think that's too much church? But why is it never too much world? Why is it never too much world? I think what made the Apostle Paul, what helped him a whole lot, was Stephanus' house. Now notice this, it wasn't just Stephanus. It said it was his house. It spread throughout the house. You know how a lot of folks get hooked on drugs? It's because somebody gave it to them and said, try this. You know what I think it would help is if we went to people and had so much Jesus on us that they just got infected by just being in our presence. That if it was the summertime and a mosquito flew by and bit you, you'd go flying away shouting, oh, bless the Lord, oh, bless the Lord, oh, bless his holy name, because you had so much Jesus on you. Why? This world needs the church. This world needs God's people. You may not know the effect that you may have in other people's life, but you being steadfast and addicted to the ministry of the saints, being addicted into what the Lord have you to be addicted to, that means you can't live without it. You can't go without it. I don't mind anybody else, but I just love the Lord so much. I love being at Mount Zion Baptist Church. No other church I'd rather be at. This is where I want to die at. Y'all may think I'm crazy. Pull me in here in my casket if the Lord don't take me home first and the rest of you with me. But friend, if the Lord leaves, I'm leaving with the Lord. Why? I'm addicted to him. I'm addicted to that spirit. Addicted to that love. Addicted to this youth group singing. Lily sings that song, I never drank champagne. It says all those things, but I've been to Calvary. My heart begins to just strum real sweet. And Alexis sing that song over and over again and again. God is faithful. It reminds me he's never left me nor forsaken me. And to hear them on this side of the youth choir, hear them go, yes, I'm on. It's like they emphasize that, yes, I'm on the winning side. No matter how bad I am in the game of life, maybe I fumble the ball too many times and throw an interception and I don't make the tackle like I should. But I do know this, he's never left me nor forsaken me. He's worth being addicted to. There's no greater friend. There's no one who sticks closer than a brother. There's nobody who'll go all the way with you into the end of the world than Jesus Christ. I believe this. I believe if we get addicted to the Lord and to the ministry of the saints, there's so many things that people don't realize that folks need contributed to help them to do what God wants them to do. That's why it's a church. That's why we have a church covenant that describes that. It's in the scriptures. Now we're hitting it on it tonight in here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I will say this so many times. I know of preachers and some folks may not realize it, there'd be not much gas left in the tank. They hadn't eaten. And some folks may think this is crazy, but when someone slips them a 20, they put 15 in gas and $5 for a pop and a bag of pretzels that gets them home. You don't know what you've done for that preacher. Now, can I say this? It may help them and boost them up to go an extra mile. But I want to say this for the preachers we got. A steak dinner's a whole lot better than a bag of pretzels and a bottle of pop. I'll throw that in there. I don't care if y'all think that's right or not. I think it is. But can I say it's not just the preachers? Deacons need somebody addicted to what they're doing. Youth pastors need somebody addicted to what they're doing. That means you don't do the deacon's job, a youth pastor's job. I've seen some folks out there, even Johnny sits back there and watches that door for us, watches that camera. Let some people, somebody needs to pray and help in that. Why? Because we're all this together. I've heard people say the church is only as strong as its weakest link, and I've heard that for so many years. Well, the only reason why that link is so weak is because maybe we need to take more time out praying for each other and lift each other up. Christian, come and get us a song tonight if you would. Or Paul.